Is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. If you are able, would you please stand for the reading of the scripture? In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and shares in the promise in Jesus Christ through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So, that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. This is the word of the God, of the Lord.
Thank you, Mick. This week we are finishing the Christmas story with the arrival of the three wise men from the East. And next week we're going to start a new sermon series that looks at the hard sayings of Jesus, so that should be a fun one. There are a lot of misconceptions, though, about the wise men who are coming today. Probably the song We Three Kings of Orion Are has a problem in its title because they probably weren't kings, more like respected sages. Another misconception is that they arrived shortly after the shepherds, you know, like that, you know, Mary gave birth, the shepherds burst in, then these kings arrive. It probably didn't go like that. It was probably more like 2 years before the wise men arrived. We know that because Herod, in fear, tried to kill all of the boys 2 years and under. And in our text today, it actually refers to Jesus as an infant or a child, not as a baby. But misconceptions aside, this is a very powerful story, very familiar story, because I believe it touches on some of our own deepest longings. Matthew chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go, and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that had been seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, in the ancient world, including Israel, it was generally accepted that the stars contained guidance for the present and for the future. For instance, during the reign of Nero, the emperor of Rome, a comet appeared in the sky over Rome, and generally that was seen as a ruler was about to die. Now Nero, who was, to use a technical term, loco en la cabeza, took matters into his own hands, and he summarily executed a bunch of the nobles in Rome, hoping to fulfill the prophecy by their deaths, not by his own. That's taking matters into your own hands. Now, the greatest interpreters of dreams and visions, pretty well known in astrology, were the Magi of Persia. And three of them noticed something new. They scoured their charts, discovered that this meant there was a king born in the land of Judea. Fascinating. But a few days later, the star was not in the same place. It was moving west. Now, being the space nerd that I am, this makes me wonder, why did they care? Because stars normally move west. In any given day, the stars at night will move east to west, and actually, as the Earth rotates around the sun, they tend to move west about 1 degree per day. Westward motion is normal. Now, whenever Earth overtakes one of the outer planets, because Earth moves faster than like Mars or Jupiter or Saturn, in the sky it will appear as if Mars or Jupiter will move the other direction because we're overtaking them. That's called retrograde motion. That's not normal. That's noteworthy. Eastward motion is weird. Westward motion is normal. But something about this westward motion caught their attention. Okay, so there's a new object in the sky. It's moving west, just like everything else. It means there's a new king in Judea. But here's where I'm struggling. What about this analysis leads them to load up a caravan so large that in verse 3 it says all of Jerusalem notices? Jerusalem is a major trade city. It would have to be a huge caravan to catch the attention of the entire city. What about this analysis leads them to load up some gold bullion to give away, to bottle up some expensive perfume, to pack up some rare incense so they can give it away to this king? A foreign king, no less. One who was born in Roman territory, a dangerous potential enemy of their hometown Persian Empire. And these are supposedly the wise men. I only have one explanation. They were on a mission from God. There are about three things that generally cause men to do crazy things: love, money, and religion, and the general presence of a Y chromosome. But these men, they weren't in love. They were giving away their money. That probably wasn't the motivator. That leaves religion. And their own religion had no reason for them to do this. They must have been sent on a mission from God. At our December meeting of session, I asked everyone what their favorite and least favorite Christmas songs were. Now, my least favorite Christmas song is Silent Night, because I can buy a virgin birth, but a baby being quiet all night long, please. Now, my favorite Christmas song, though, is We Three Kings, and I love it because of this sense of purpose, this mission that they've been sent on, this quest they have. And then the tune kind of reminds me of Lord of the Rings, so it reinforces that quest mentality. That's why it's my favorite Christmas song. I love that because it means we have a role to play in the Christmas story. Sure, the main story is God coming to us in the flesh in Jesus, but people had a role to play. We aren't just taking up space while God does his thing. We're here for a reason. And that means everyone in this room can be used by God for some purpose, some mission. You, like the wise men, have a mission from God, but do you know what it is? I find it very fascinating that the wise men actually didn't even know their true mission. They felt this urge to go west. They felt this urge to bring lavish gifts that happened to be highly transportable. They were told in a dream to go back home by the much, much, much longer route. They kept getting the next step in the journey, but the big picture, God had something totally different in mind. In the verses immediately following our text today, Joseph and Mary and Jesus flee to Egypt to escape Herod before he kills the children in Bethlehem. Now, 2015 was kind of the year of the refugee, so we've probably all seen images of the difficulty of fleeing a war zone or fleeing tragedy like that. But what's really interesting to me is those people that you see fleeing are mostly middle class, because it takes a lot of money to flee a war zone. The poorest people, they're just stuck. It's the people with some means who are able to flee. Now, Joseph and Mary, they were poor. They could not afford to flee to Egypt, let alone live there for a couple years. But you know what would be really useful if you were going to flee to Egypt? Some very valuable, highly transportable wealth, like gold or frankincense or myrrh. These gifts, unbeknownst to the wise men, were how Mary and Joseph and Jesus could afford to flee to Egypt, to escape Herod. The wise men had a mission from God to bring their particular gifts to this particular king, but God used that mission in a totally different and unexpected way. On May 7th, 2011, a South African carpenter by the name of Richard Van Az had an unfortunate work accident that claimed four of his fingers. And he's a carpenter, so he needs his hand. But rather than losing hope, he decided to use his skills to try to make his own prosthetic to help him keep working. And while he was researching this, he saw a video on YouTube of a 3D printed mechanical hand that was part of a Halloween costume posted by a kind of quirky American professor by the name of Ivan Owen. He contacted Ivan, they worked together, they started trying to build this mechanical hand for Richard. Now back in South Africa, a boy named Liam was born with no fingers, and his mom heard about this project that Richard was working on, this super cheap, customizable mechanical hand. And 10 months later, after Liam's mom contacted them, Richard and Ivan got to see him light up with joy as he picked something up with his mechanical hand for the first time. One man had a mission to be creative and share his quirky Halloween creation with the world. Another man had a mission to restore his ability to work. And together, they created a mission to restore hope to children around the world who can't afford prosthetics. They build them for them. That story is actually what got me into 3D printing as well. And what I take away from this is that your mission from God doesn't have to be this super religious thing. It doesn't have to be a two-month pilgrimage or a mission trip to foreign lands. It doesn't have to be earth-shattering or epic in scope. Your mission from God might spring out of who you are, as it did for Ivan in his Halloween costume. Your mission from God might spring out of something that happens to you, good or bad, as it did for Richard in his need for a prosthetic. Your mission from God might be something internal, growing into a man or a woman after God's own heart. Or your mission from God might be something very nearby, raising your children in a Christian home, or the women who make the quilts for babies in the hospital here on Monday mornings. That's a mission from God. Everyone here in this room can be used by God for some purpose. Everyone here, like the wise men, has a mission from God. But do you know what it is? A couple months ago, I shared some possibilities as we consider as a whole church what our mission from God is in 2016. And then Session deliberated about that, and we started circling around some of the same ideas. And I want to share with you the three things that Session sensed were our mission from God as a church in 2016. First off, our mission from God is for everyone in this church to grow closer to Christ spiritually. My second Sunday here, I preached on the spiritual growth tree, if you remember that. If you do, I'm very impressed. Most people can't remember this morning, let alone several months ago. But to remind you, the tree image says that the soil is worship, the seed is your commitment to Christ, your roots are deep relationships, the trunk of the tree are spiritual practices, especially reflecting on Scripture and praying for guidance. You branch out into useful service and ministry, and finally bear fruit when you share Christ with others. And so this year, we're going to be offering opportunities in all of these different parts of the tree for you to grow closer to Christ, to grow one part of your spiritual tree in 2016. The first one you'll hear about is a prayer walk around our neighborhood in Lent. And we're actually going to have another church join us in that too. So it's an opportunity to grow in prayer, one of the parts of your tree. Our second mission from God is to have a greater positive impact on our community in Christ's name. And so this church has supported many worthwhile ministries, many worthwhile missions financially, but we're feeling that urge, like the wise men did, to roll up our sleeves and get involved personally, to do more hands-on. So over the course of the year, you'll hear more about new ways, not just to give, but to volunteer and get involved and make an impact on our community in Christ's name. Our third mission from God in 2016 is to share the story, to let people know that God is at work in our midst, spiritually transforming us, to let people know that God has a vision for our city and we are along for the ride. We're going to be sharing stories throughout the year online, in print, and encouraging you to share how you've been making a difference in Christ's name with your neighbors. I've shared before when I told my neighbors about, you know, Charlie and I going to deliver a meal on Thanksgiving, they said we might want to help next year. It was attractive for them to hear that we were making a difference in our community. Share the story. Sisters and brothers, God sent the wise men on a mission. And it didn't really make sense. But they went west, carrying a bunch of highly transportable wealth to give to a foreign king who they found in a poor village. And then they went the really, really, really long way home to avoid a vindictive ruler. But that wasn't even how God really used them. He used them to enable Joseph and Mary and Jesus to flee to Egypt with the resources they would need. Everyone in this room, like the wise men, has a mission from God. But do you know what it is?